This is DreamWords. Tom Corvin by Paul Story. Chapter 4. A dazzling slab of light fell through the open door, and a girl, about his own age, whatever that was, stared at him in wide-eyed disbelief. Wisps of black hair frizzed from under a towel wrapping the angel's head. She opened her mouth to speak, but as she did, a large man pounded a narrow hallway, grabbed her arm, swung her away, and slammed the door in the boy's face. Considering the situation, his condition and the bizarre thoughts he'd been having, he was numb to logic, and strangely, he chuckled softly. His legs buckled, and he sat on the grass in front of the doorstep. Inside, voices, a man's in particular, battled. Feet stormed stairs and doors shuddered with sudden violence through the watery hiss. Slipping sideways, he saw the door reopen, tree trunk legs bending at the knees, large hands scooping him from the sodden ground. And so the boy entered the cottage. Still shivering and dreaming nuclear dreams, he lay on a soft mattress, his clothes cut from his body, replaced by warm and dry cleanliness, cocooned inside a sleeping bag, his crucible for regeneration. How long he lay in that state he wasn't sure, but by the cycle of light and dark through the chink of the cloth-covered window, it was more than a single day. When his mind became clear enough to think, he was surprised to note that he hadn't been taken to hospital or airlifted by helicopter, as some part of him knew might be normal. Neither had he seen the girl. Was she even real? Perhaps she was just simply the imagined shape of his rescuer, his angel, a Cinderella enslaved by a mad hermit. Was that his fate too? Was he being saved to serve this strange master for life? Every now and then, a bowl of soup or hot chocolate or oversweet tea was forced down his semi-conscious throat. But even so, when he awoke, he was ravenous. The room was spare, damp and dingy. Everything was wood, old. The boy lay still and listened. There was movement downstairs, but no talking, and no way of telling whether there was one, two, or more occupants in the house. Of course, there had to be at least two. Crossing the wooden floorboards on bare feet, he pulled aside of the makeshift curtain clear of the window. The weather had not improved. Water streaked the glass as though the cottage was travelling along a railway track during a rainstorm. The sea, no more than 20 meters away, was grey and restless. A small patch of grass outside the front door was a cultivated island among wild and unkempt vegetation. He could see no road. Perhaps it ran behind the cottage. He was dressed in a dark blue tracksuit. It was warm, but the dampness of the house and the cold boards on his feet made him shiver just the same. He couldn't understand why, but there was something about the place that unsettled him. But this was his sanctuary. He was with friends. They'd saved him. Why then did he continue to shake? Was the dampness really that bad? Of course, he decided. He was being stupid. He recrossed the floor, took a deep breath, prepared to thank his rescuers for their kindness, and pulled on a doorknob to leave the room. But nothing happened beyond the hollow sound of rattling wood and metal. The door was locked. Why would they lock the door? Was he a prisoner? He tapped the wood with a bent knuckle and said rather hoarsely, "Hello? Is anyone there?" There was no answer. He tried again, this time with more force. "Hello! Let me out!" Immediately the noise downstairs turned to whispers and then to a scuttling movement as though he'd just disturbed foraging rats. Eventually, footsteps shook the stairs and a key squealed and grated in the rusty lock. A man, giant by any standards, loomed over him, his unsmiling face shabby and unshaven, his wide shoulders barely slim enough to squeeze through the frame. The boy stepped back and sank onto the bed.
"You're awake."
This self-evident remark was almost an accusation, as though the boy had no right to be awake at all. "Yes," he replied with equal redundancy.
"You'll be hungry."
At these words, he dared be nothing else. Remembered that he really was ravenous and nodded his head vigorously. The man backed out the door, closed it, and then with an action more efficient than words, locked him in again. Not quite believing what had just happened, the boy tried the handle, but it was true. He was trapped. DreamWorks.com.